bloodlust, the lust through power by enslaving and lusting for the blood of others. Nimrod was the first example of this. Right after the deluge, God commanded that the sons of Noah be fruitful and multiply and be dispersed among the earth. In Genesis 10, 6 through 21, we see that the sons of Ham, Cush, Mitzrayim, and Phut, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, and Sabta, and Ra'amah, and Savatah, and the sons of Ra'amah, Sheva, and Dedan, and Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Interesting, isn't it? He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. So he was a very predatory man. And in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Achad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. He began to be a mighty one, a Giborim, in the earth. Mighty means he began to dominate. And what was the issue with Nimrod? Genesis 11, 1, 9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said to one another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us." Now, this is reminiscent of the time of Pharaoh, when he had the Hebrews enslaved to make bricks. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven." What is this city and this tower? They are building. First, God did not command them. They are in their own arm of strength and flesh. They're making bricks. And they're going to build a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. That's going to go into the spiritual realm, the other dimension, the heavens that are going around us. They want something that is going to tap in to power. And if you've seen these ziggurats, they're actually idolatrous houses of worship. And they had brick, and let us make us a name. Oh, they want to reach into heaven, they want power, and they want fame. Let us make us a name that people might be subjected to them. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Pyramids, ziggurats, top-down hierarchy. Someone to rule over them and lord over them. And they will become famous. And the Lord came down to the sea, the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down in there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. This is the beginning of man's reoccurrence of rebellion against God. And these are the progressive layers of how he begins to build his own city, his own plans, his own towers into heaven, to make a name, to have power, to lord it over others, that nothing which they will be restrained from them, what they have imagined to do. And why? Because before that, this was the reason that God destroyed the earth with the deluge, because the imaginations of their heart were always violent, and God repented that he had made man. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence from upon the face of all the earth from Babylon, and they left off to build a city. Therefore, it is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. This is the image, Babylon, of everything that has opposed itself and raised itself above God to exalt the arm of flesh, the mighty man, the Gibborim, of rulers of the earth. Let's look at the earthly kings and how they began in Israel. Israel was called to be under Abraham, who was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, the land of Babylon near Shinar, to Israel to preserve the seed and the word of the Lord, the name of the Lord, and the teachings and the precepts. But they had no king except for God, the Lord. They came out of Egypt, which was Babylon reinvented. God delivered them from the slavery of making bricks. Not only did they have to make the bricks, they had to get the straw to make the bricks. And Pharaoh killed them, so they would not prosper and multiply and spread out, because he was afraid of their numbers. And he enslaved them to build his pyramids of power, his mountains that he worshipped at, that he tapped into the heavens with. God delivered them from that, took them into the wilderness. The Hebrews brought them into the promised land to slay the giants under Joshua, military leaders. They had Moses as the leader, who came out of Pharaoh's court, Egypt's court. And then they had Joshua and Caleb, and then the reign of the judges. But something changed after Samuel, the judges and the kings of the earth. They had the judges and the priests and the kings. They had the prophets. They had Eli, who was in Shiloh, who held the tabernacle offices to show what heaven was. The tabernacle was set up to show what the true heaven is and the true king, but it was only a type. It was earthly. In 1 Samuel 8, 4, 9, all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel, unto Ramah. And he said unto him, behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. And now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. In other words, we want to be like all the rest of the nations. We don't like being different. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Here the Lord says, it's not about you, Samuel. Because Samuel was the spokesperson, he was the prophet that spoke to them concerning their the laws and the ordinances and the judgments and statutes of God. But his sons did not walk in that way, his ways. And they wanted a king, and the Lord said, it's not about, listen to what they say, this is not about rejecting you. They rejected God. That I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day. I hear the Lord's calling to account the history. They have forsaken me, and they've served other God. So do they also unto you. This is God's indictment against them. He brought them up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery and idolatry. And they always forsake him and serve other gods, and also even under Samuel's ministry. Now, therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit you protest solemnly to them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Basically, the Lord says here, okay, listen to what they said. We'll give them a king. I'll give them a king. And you'll tell them how that king will put them in bondage and slavery. And they will have to tithe and give their daughters and their sons to serve the king, the pyramid, the structure, the control. And this is the arm of man. Again, the arm of man. Thus commenced the reign of kings in the land of Israel. And let's look at Jezebel. Let's look at how Ahab and Jezebel were the last, and the judgment that came upon them. In 1 Kings 16:31 and 33, let's look at Jezebel and Ahab. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. The commandments of God that you were not to marry the daughters of the other nations around you. And the reason is because they would lead the men into idolatry. He took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. This was Ethbaal. That was Jezebel's father's name. It is the house of Baal. And Jezebel worshipped Baal and caused Ahab to worship Baal. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Why? Well, here we go. 1 Kings 18:4. For it was so that Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in the cave and fed them with bread and water. The prophets were the spokesmen of the Lord. They conveyed the counsel and judgment, decrees, statutes, the teachings of God. And in 1 Kings 18:13, was it not, my Lord, that what I did, this is Obadiah speaking, when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? What did Jezebel do? She killed God's prophets. Baal was a demon god. He had demonic powers behind him that pursued the truth and wanted to kill, steal, and destroy. Always behind that is the works of Satan. And 1 Kings 19, 1-2, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets, that's her prophets, the prophets of Baal, with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She's saying, Elijah, you are a dead man. 1 Kings 21, 6-11. And he said unto her, because I spoke unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said to him, and this is the reason why, this is the crux of the matter. Here we go. So those that speak the statutes of the Lord. And what was the huge conflict over? 1 Kings 21, 6-11. He said to her, because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me thy vineyard for money. This is Ahab speaking, King Ahab, Jezebel's husband. Or else, if it please thee, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. This is Naboth. And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, Ahab, do you govern the kingdom of Israel? Rise and eat bread and let your heart be merry. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now the law stated that you didn't sell your inheritance. That if you got into debt, you know, you could be given over for a while, but after 7 years, the land had to go back to your family. You were not to sell it. It was to go to your kinsfolks, and you could redeem it. So the governor, the king, was just to govern the kingdom of Israel. He was not to own it. So she wrote letters, Ahab did, in Ahab's names, and sealed them with a seal, and sent the letters to the elders and to the nobles that were in the city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. and said, two men, sons of Belial. Who are sons of Belial? Sons of other gods. Sons of powers that lie, kill, steal, and destroy. Before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had said unto them. That is, it's written in the letters which she had sent into him. So she framed him and had him murdered. Then proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. And then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came. So these guys are conspiring, Ahab and Jezebel, for murder, and they're coveting another man's property. They're breaking the covenants, the Ten Commandments, the covenant laws of God. So it came to pass when and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spoke the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. There was none like an Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in the following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Let us briefly look at the accounting of the birth of Jesus the Christ, King of the Jews, in Matthew 2:11-13, 23 and 20. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek to destroy the young child, to destroy him. Herod was the king of Israel at the time. And the wise men from the east came to worship the child, to look at the fulfillment of scriptures, bringing it to the attention of King Herod as they visited him, inquiring where the child was to be birthed. And Herod, in his jealousy and lust to maintain his hold on power, threatened by the birth of a king, sought to destroy Jesus. When Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from Tyrol and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. In order to maintain his hold on power, he murdered the children in Bethlehem and the coast, unto and under. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Let's go to Herod. These are the kings now in the New Testament. This king sought to slay any of his rivals for power. He has blood on his hands in order to maintain his hold and his lust for power. Let's look at Herod the Tetrarch in Matthew 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and he said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show themselves in it. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother's Philip's wife. For John said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it be given to her. And he sent and beheaded John in prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. Because these kings are threatened and want to have the hold of their power and rule and enslavement, the souls and the lives of men and blood. Let us look at the fulfillment, the culmination of Babylon. Started with Nimrod and the control and idolatrous worship. And the final allegory, the summation, is in Revelation 17, 1 through 6. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying to me, come hither, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So it carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand.